Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24. It's not my sermon, but just something I just want to share with us. There's an old teaching we had. I call it old teaching, but it's not old. Four important parts of the human life. I want to tell you to try and listen to it tonight or tomorrow, but at least this week. Four important parts of the human life. It's very not a recent teaching. I think the first time I must have taught it was sometime in 1999 as a pastor of the House of Faith in Ibadan. And then later on, I think 2002 or so, then 2007 and 2008. But something I share of four important parts of the human life. How many of you have listened to it before? How many of you? Okay, try and listen to it. But it's such a teaching you should listen to now. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said you should take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that the ear shall more be given. Take heed what you hear. Now, the Amplified Version, which I often don't use, but it's the version I use particularly for this text, it says, take heed what you hear that you hear. In other words, you have to watch the things that you hear. Don't overestimate your capacity to hear everything. It's careless to think you can hear anything and everything. Don't overestimate your capacity. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart from your eyes. For they are light to those who find them and medicine to all the flesh. Proverbs 4, 22. 23 says that guard your heart anyway, anyhow. Is that what it says? Guard your heart with all diligence. Hallelujah. With what? All diligence. All diligence. You got to be diligent about it. For out of it are the issues of life. You have to do it diligently. You have to watch the things that you watch. If you don't watch the things that you watch, the things that you watch will watch you. You got what the things that you watch, the things that you hear. Hallelujah. You need to control the things that you watch, the things that you hear. Praise the Lord. Particularly, like I said the other day, we are in a very impressionable age. Impressionable age. And the media is very powerful. Did I share with you what Ebenezer Obey and Sonia they said? I shared it with you. The media is very powerful. Extremely powerful. And we are also in the time of what is called fake news. So where you have so many things that can control your thoughts. The media is there to control the way you think. Control how you see things. And I shared with you one time that in the history, historically, where you have protests in any region, in any time, it always gives a rise to atheism. It's historically proven. People just abandon. They abandon God. It looks like they're fighting the authorities. It looks like they're protesting against the authorities, the civil rights movement. It looks like they're fighting this authority and fighting that authority. But eventually it translates into the religion. Their dedication to the Lord. You got to take it what you see. Take it how you see it. Because like we said, nothing is neutral. There's nothing that is neutral. The words that you say, the things said to you, nothing is neutral. Hallelujah. You got to watch it. You got to watch the kind of things that entertain you. You feel, oh well, I just want entertainment. I just want to feel relaxed. No. Watch the things that you watch. Watch it. Make sure you put a guard on your heart. And don't feel bad when in the midst of people you don't know some things. Don't say, I don't want to feel left out. You should be left out. I don't want to feel left out. So let them know that I'm also woke. I'm also sharp, rapra. I'm also, you know, I understand these things. No, you don't have to. Don't be under pressure to belong. It's called peer pressure. That's how some people go to the boarding house and they join the wrong friends. And then they started using drugs because they wanted to belong. There are some of us here, any latest haircut, we'll see it on your head. And even if it just came out last night, any latest thing, if people have started painting their nose, you paint your own. You're always under pressure. Under pressure. Any latest thing like this is what you are doing. You are under peer pressure. You abandon your club. I don't know why you are laughing. I don't know. Do you know the club I'm talking about? Huh? You are just carnally minded. You don't even know. You don't know when I'm talking about prayer club. You don't know when I'm talking about fasting and prayer club. You don't know. But the devil in your mind. God won't shame me. Anyway, I'm walking in the spirit here. I'm trying. So, you know, don't be under pressure. There's nothing to be under pressure about. Anything you see people do, you want to do it. It has led some of us into debts. Debts. You say, I must belong to the people. I must belong. That's how one guy like that. He was selling a car. So he was going for this old boy association meeting. So because the classmates were always bringing cars, he didn't know where the cars were coming from. Some of them are official cars, some of them are unofficial cars. And he wanted to belong. So he used to sell cars. That's how he took a brand new car that somebody ordered through him. So he got into the car trying to pose to the meeting. So he was posing and posing. He got to the meeting. I like your rice. Yeah, I just got it. Yeah. So, you know, it didn't take 30 minutes. The car was stolen. So he was saying, I'm finished. I'm finished. The classmates were like, no, well, let's tell the police. Yeah, what am I going to tell the police? He said, you tell them, they'll say, he's not my car. So there are two thieves the police is going to arrest. They will arrest the first thief, that is you. The second thief, the one that stole from the thief. Peer pressure. You have to belong. That's it. So people are out of the country today because their class, their mates are... Do you know why they went? Yeah, I know. Someone say, hey, where are you now? I'm in Canada. What's going on there? Come and enjoy life. Come to Macedonia. Peer pressure. Before you know it, you start grumbling to everybody around you. You know, you grumble to your family, grumble to your wife, to your husband. I don't know what is this country so bad, very horrible, very terrible. This country is of the devil. Okay, I will just pray for this country. I know. I can pray from afar. You know. And you begin to, you just, because somebody is steady guiding you. I don't know what's even going on. Why did they even give birth to me in this country? Why didn't they travel? When traveling to America was 1,500 naira. I don't know what kind of parents I have. Do you know you're not a parent? It doesn't matter. At least let me pay my parents first. And then, what is wrong with you? Under pressure. So when you go for your alumni meeting, or you see the alumnus, and you see them from afar. This guy, they used to repeat. I used to repeat, is always promotion on trial. This guy, I see the guy, you know, he's at maybe, you know, and he has two rings, he's not like this, and he has big chain and fine car, or you see him with a politician or with the governor, or he's even the governor. say, you just get to church, the pastor is saying, you know, we are simply devoted to the Lord. So, simply devoted. How? With this guy I'm seeing, this is the devotion. You know, you're under pressure. Peer pressure. Some people are into things that they never planned because they've seen others do it. In the name of Jesus, you are not under any pressure. You are under the pressure of the Holy Ghost alone. In the name of Jesus. Walk in your own pace. Amen. Walk in the time that God is giving you. There's this song, old song by Maranatha. I used to sing it a lot. In His time. You know that song? In His time. He makes all things beautiful. In His time. Lord, show me every day as you teach me in your ways that you do just what you say in your time, in your time, in your time, in your time. You make all things beautiful. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, you show me every day as you teach me in your ways that you do just what you say in your time. Sing it to my God. In your time. In your time. In your time. You make all things beautiful. You make all things beautiful. In your time. Lord, you show me every day. Lord, you show me every day. As you teach me in your way. As you teach me that you do just what you say, that you do just what you say. One more time.
In your time.
In your time.
In your time.
Sing that song. In your time. You make all things beautiful. You make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, you show me, Lord, you show me every day, as you teach me your way, that you do just what you say. Sing, Lord, you show me in your way, Lord, you show me every day. As you teach me in your ways, that you do just what you say in your time. Lord, you show me every day. As you teach me in your ways, that you do just what you say. You've got to learn to trust your prayer. That since you are praying, if certain things don't happen, leave it that way. You have already prayed. And you trust the Lord that you prayed to. Anything that takes you away from giving thanks, we are no longer thankful. Then you're under a pressure. Because we are told to give thanks always. Hallelujah. That song again. In all things, I give you thanks. I give you praise and thanksgiving even at all times. In everything, I give you thanks. I give you thanks. In all things.
In all things.
Thank God for your life.
I give you
for your
praise.
Family, for your ministry, for your life,
I give you
for your
praise. And thanksgiving all the time in everything.
Is that the easiest thing?
I give you
thanks. Are we all to give thanks? Come on. Say thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, my Lord. We are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord.
We are saying thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, my Lord. We are saying thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we are saying thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, my Lord. We are saying thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
thank you, my Lord.
We are saying
thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
thank you, my Lord. We are saying thank you.
Sing it to my God. Come on. Thank you, my Lord. Nation, thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, my Lord.
Oh, nation, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, my Lord.
Oh, our ministries, we thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, my Lord.
Oh, our churches, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
our families, thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, my Lord.
Our families, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, my Lord.
Our lives, we thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, my Lord.
We are saying thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, my Lord.
Raise your hands and just thank you. Lift your hands and thank you. So we praise you. We praise you.
We
worship your name.
Oh,
oh,
in our lives,
oh,
see what you have done.
Oh,
I'm alive, Lord.
Oh,
lift our hands in praise of your name. Lift our hands in praise.
We praise you, Lord, our Lord, we praise you.
We praise you,
Lord.
We praise you, we praise you.
We watch you, Lord. We see what you're doing.
We
see what you're doing, God. We see. So have your seat now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. Now, I'm going to share this. It looks primarily like we're saying this to the pastors, but really, I'm saying this to every believer who is under the Great Commission. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, saying, all authority, which is the word power, is given to me. He says, in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, that's the word teach there, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Matthew 28:19, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teach them to observe what things ever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So every believer, as we've been studying, is under the Great Commission. You know, you can receive it or not. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for every man is in Christ, every man is in Christ, a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. All things of God, he says in verse 18, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, to wit, what God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the message, the word of reconciliation. So we have that ministry to reach men with the message of Jesus Christ. So I've got an instruction for all of us who do it. I believe all of us should. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 and verse 28, I want you to take note of everything I'm talking about tonight. Acts 20, verse 28. It says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, the first thing you need to realize about the people Paul is talking to here is that the previous chapter in Acts 19, when he, you know, Apollos went to Corinth, the scripture says, and Paul got to Ephesus and saw some disciples. And he then asked them, he spoke unto them and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he said, we've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then he said to them, he said, unto them were you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. He said, well, John verily baptized by repentance, preaching or saying to the people that they should believe on him that should come after, that is on Jesus Christ. As he heard these sayings of his in verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul went ahead, then he put his hands on them, laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them and they prophesied. And the writer was very direct. He said, all the men, verse 7, were about 12. All the men. So a lot of things happened in the experiences. Paul had to separate them, taught them, and then he was with them for the space of about 3 years. Then he left Ephesus. He didn't leave Ephesus on a good note. He had trouble in Ephesus, so he left. That's why he called it the beast that were in Ephesus. He had trouble. Then he left. In fact, the people had to prevent him from being killed. So he comes back afterwards, which means there's some time you leave to come back. He came back in verse 17. As he was coming through Ephesus, he called the elders of the church. So these 12 folks had become elders. They had become elders. They had grown. They had matured. Which means that it's normal for a Christian to grow and be put over other believers. I always get concerned when somebody is in a local church for a long time. I've seen people, for example, and they tell me they have this choice of a brother or sister that they want to get married to, and then they say, oh, he's a committed member of so-and-so church. I said, very good. If he or she is committed to this or that church, hey, what do they do there? What does he do there? I said, he's just a lover of God. There's no ministry gift like that. He's a lover of God. What does he do in his church? What does she do? Well, he says for now, she says for now, she doesn't want to really engage in church. That's a red signal. Why? Not so excited about church. Ah. Or just has a personal devotion with God. Ah. There's no such Christian life. And also, If I see people in our church, the Saints Community Church, Saints Community Church, and I ask, and I see you've been in church for a long time, and I say, how come your pastor has not recommended you once to say you should be in charge of some believers? I don't know, sir. You should know. Because it's not correct. You should have matured. Matured to the point where they can commit those things to your trust. Christianity is a responsibility. It's not just, I'm born again. I'm enjoying the word of God. Mm-mm, there's nothing to enjoy here. I'm enjoying the word of God. I'm really enjoying the teaching, sir. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the Holy Spirit. I'm just enjoying. You think it's a restaurant? I'm just enjoying. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. You're just here. All you do is to sing. You're just singing. I'm not talking to you. And you're singing. And singing and singing. What are you singing about? I'm singing and glorifying God. Thank God for the glorification of God. But brother, what are you doing? Sister, what are you doing in the flock? You have to have something you're doing. Because he's asked us to go and make disciples of every nation. And so we need to ask you, why are you not doing it? How many people are in your local church who got born again through you? Not just that, who are committed Christians because of you. As a younger Christian, I just couldn't fathom it to go to church alone. I bring people. As a teenager, I'll hire buses. Teenager. And put people in there. Let's go. Many of them, I led them to Christ. Let's go. So it's not a stage. It's not when you now become the pastor of a church. No. 1 million times no. Not at all. I've been raising disciples before I started preaching, like I'm doing today. No! It is your life. How can you be in a church? You are just going there, and you are going there. You've come for how many WCC? You've come 2016, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You have even come for 21. And you still have no one that you are raising for Christ. I'm not talking about people in your family that they depend on your money. So they say, you have to, if you don't attend church with me, I won't pay your school fees. I love the Lord. Let us go and love him together. I'm not talking about that. You know, there are the disciples that are false disciples. You force them. You have to force them. And they say, I will go. Then my dad used to force us to some vigils. And me and my cousins, when they are in the vigils, we'll go and chop rice in one corner. And then, because he won't see us, then at some point he's looking for us. Then he'll see one. Where are you? Say, they went to, so we used to change, they went to use themselves. Hey, since then, no, they just left. And they won't come back. First members of the church. That's not what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I'm saying people that you have led to the Lord, that you are leading in Christ, you must have. You must have. Because it's then that you know the experience of Christianity. That's why I pity people that listen to pastors who know everything about the church they don't pastor. Some guys can describe how the local church, they will describe it. The local church is the establishment of the grace of God in the earth that sets forth to do the will of God, and then it is overseen by very good grammar. Okay, where is the one that is under you? He said, well, the truth is that, you know, Jesus Christ has set the body of Christ over the body of Christ. Thank you. You can go. You can go. You get it. Some guys are excellent analysts of the things they can never do. So, you must have, and you know, I tell many people in leadership, before you get into leadership, you can analyze how things should be done. That's not how the service should have started. That's not how it should have ended. The day we give you half a soul. Half. Nobody, just the soul. The way you go around it. People can analyze.
When I see some people talk on Facebook, I laugh. You know, you can fight war thinking you are playing game. You say, no, what the military should have done, they should have positioned them to the right, to the left. You think you are playing? I told you the story of one dear sister. Then we were having, I think it was Believers Convention. Pastor Ayo then was in charge of the dubbing of tapes, we used to call it then. We used to go to, what's that place? I've forgotten his name. Atikeja. Eh? Something like that. Near Atikeja bus stop. What? Eh? Highway. What's it? That's the name? Highway. Eh? New one. New one was later. New one was New Testament. Highway. I remember that highway because you took us there. I think you took us there. Yes. She took us there. Highway. They'll go and drop tapes. So, we will have a camp meeting. And people will want some tapes. He will go there. After we have finished session, he will go there and go and stay there overnight. And come back. And how you call him Breayo then? Breayo. Breayo, Toba me. Was that the title? That was the thing. So he will come back in the morning. And the people will say, oh, where are our tapes? Where are our tapes? You say, hey, relax, relax. What are you laughing at? Say, relax. And they say, you know, where are our tapes? So one day, I saw his sister, she really tore clothes there. She said, just don't try with me. Some brethren, even in church, they don't even mind. Don't ever try that nonsense with me. I said, after Holy Ghost meeting, that was the edification. So I saw them from afar. And I went close. Because you are an overseer. You have to see. So I said, what's going on? They know the flesh has taken over. I said, said, Pastor, since, and now he's saying he's not available. I said, Brian, what's going on? He said, sorry, sir, I had done the tapes. I just said, no. I said, you should not do that. Get her the tapes now. I said, okay, sir. So I waited. He went to get some tapes. I think he had reserved them. So she was really happy. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. She was really happy. From sorrow to joy. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So she corrected, she went to go. I said, come back, don't go. I said, what happened here means there is a vacancy. Because if the tapes are coming in late, that means there's what? A vacancy. So since the Lord has put it on your heart, to have that kind of holy anger, you have to back up your anger with action. So you are joining that department. Say, I say, yes. You are a new member of the tapes department. That was the last time she ever complained. Because you will see what it takes for people to do things. You see what it takes. You will know what it takes to get one soul to Christ. As a younger pastor, I'm still young, we'll go and do follow up. You will have won like 50 souls. You will be looking at the church being filled. With the way they spoke in tongues very fast. They are coming to church tomorrow. You go and open the venue. You see the beginning, they will still come. You set up the venue. It's supposed to be 4 o'clock, 3:30. And it's 4, they will come at 4. 4 o'clock. Nobody. Even the committed workers, members. One of them will just be coming. And, you know, say, you almost in your mind, this is useless. Then you go back and go and check the people. Brokola said he's going to be in church. You go and meet. I came to check Brokola. Say, which Brokola? Oh, the one that sits in the fourth room. He has left since morning. To where? Why are you asking that kind of question? He has left. You go and check another person, they have left. Everybody has left. Did they plan it? You know, there was one guy like that. I went to his house. He said, it's not inside. I said, it's inside though. It's inside. Don't tell me that it's not inside. Ah, it has to be inside. The brother has taken the back there and run away. For me, I came with the love of God. One guy that eventually got to the service one day. We went together. I'm the one preaching. We entered together. Said, oh yeah, sit down. So I was preaching. My brother was seated. Two other brothers were seated. I was preaching. Then he got up. He was going to the restroom. I followed him. I said, we let's go back. This one song I eventually came. Come on, we just. Hallelujah. People say, no problem. I said, no worries. I'll stop the sermon. I'm waiting for you. Finish me, let's go back. So I followed him back. Oh, yeah, sit down. Praise the Lord, brother. Some people, you give them transport fare. They say, thank you very much. You get to the church. You borrow the money, you get to the church. Your worship is not even simply devoted. We are grateful. Where is this guy? You know, today you have the luxury of phone. There was no phone. Throughout the service, you almost want to preach another sermon. Some of you are just useless Christians. You want to say that? And then we now go there and say, Wale, where did you come to church? He said, I was on my way. Suddenly, that's how my great grandmother came. And the funny thing, he's not going to return your money. What about the money? That money. I want to say, God will punish you. Do you know what took me? Hallelujah. Because it's war. Hallelujah. As you are warring over his soul, Satan is warring over his soul. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Things like that will now make you pray more. You pray. Have you prayed before? You are just crying. The anger is the money you. I said, of course. Who is punishing me? I got praying that you are praising the Lord. Lord, you almost feel like, Lord, drag him to the service now. So when I see people talk, I just laugh. Then you don't even know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. You don't know what you're talking about. So you must have that duty in the local assembly, in the church. Where the Lord is working with you to raise disciples, to raise followers of Jesus Christ, students of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So therefore, every Christian ought to have the heart of Jesus Christ, the heart of a good shepherd. So when Paul said all of this, as they matured, Acts 20, he now told them. The first thing he said to them, he said, you know I've taught you. He said, when your pastor begins to tell you that, you know I've trained you. You know I have taught you. There are some things, it's only your pastor that can say it. You know I've taught you. I've trained you. You know night and day we are on this matter. You know from the very first day that I met you. You know that I suffered a lot because of you. You know that I trained you. You know that I did not shun to give to you the whole counsel of God. Paul was telling them how he fed them. How he taught them. And they knew what he went through in Ephesus. They knew they nearly killed him. They knew it. You must be careful, therefore, not to ridicule the labors of people over your life. Anyone who ridicules the labor of others will never make progress in ministry. It's not a curse. That is just a resultant effect. You see, all our Christocentric brethren, they don't like consequences. But whether you like it or not, you will see it. They don't like it. Don't ridicule. You see, I love what someone said. He said, I can disagree with a man's doctrine without insulting him or dishonoring him. You don't have to. the guy was telling me, he said, in many of your sermons, you always mention a lot of preachers. Some of them, you don't preach the same thing. Does it change the fact that they blessed me? It doesn't change it. It can't change it. You must be a man of honor. It doesn't change it. I was telling the story of one time that I used to tell my friends that I'm watching what I'm saying. You know, I'm sorry, I can't see those things that you're saying. Because you have to be very careful. Do not speak like Esau. Don't talk like Michal. Don't talk like a fool. Even when everybody is, you seem like it's a popular opinion. Let me tell you something. Hear this very well. To whom much is given, much is required of. If you are, those of you who are also under pressure on social media, if your pastor, your own local church pastor, gives you an instruction, then you see somebody else from another church doing it, who's telling you, we don't do that in our church. That person is not responsible for what your pastor has said. You are the one that is responsible. Don't go and say, if other believers are doing, are you other believers? Do you meet at the same time? Do you meet in the same place? Do you have the same pastors over your life? Don't have that kind of thinking. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ gave different instructions for different assemblies. Different ones. You don't say, let me go and take the one in Thyatira and forget the one in my church in Ephesus. You must be an idiot to think like that. This is for the church that you are in. This is for the local assembly that you are in. Many times you see some churches, they will give some instructions to their members. They are the ones that know who is there. You say, but why should they give that kind of instruction? The body of Christ should not be like that. Did you take some drugs? It's not your business. Do you watch the things that you say? So Paul told them, he said, you know I didn't convert your silver and gold. You know that I led by example. You know. He said that to them. So they saw it. They saw the kind of effort, labor, pain he had gone through. You know how many times your pastors have cried over you? You know how many times that they've fallen ill? I mean fallen ill. Some of them have abandoned the things they were doing. Remember during the lockdown, one of our pastors, they had to call him over, I think, a member. This member is in trouble. And he left his house 1 a.m. Anything could have happened at 1 a.m. And he went to look for the person. 1 a.m. during the curfew. How would you ridicule that kind of sacrifice? How? Don't you have conscience? How would you? 1 a.m. You see others, they will borrow money, all with interest, to ensure that you attend meetings. To ensure that you grow, even to meet your personal needs. Then you say, I thank God for what he did, but, how can you talk like that? You're an irresponsible person to speak like that. Irresponsible. I share the story often. One time, my dad and mom were having a disagreement, an argument. So my dad, he was trying to say, of course my mom was trying to say what she did for him years before. Because she happened to be the first person who made some money before him, before he did. So he now had grown in his career. He had official cars. He was now going, traveling up and down. So, I don't know what led to the argument. So he now just said it with, when he says something with sarcasm, that what is it? I'll write one check and I'll clear everything you are talking about. I said, don't talk like that, sir. I said, what do I mean? I said, you should have written the check then. The moment you couldn't write the check then you have mouth now. I said, in Yoruba, you don't measure kindness. The moment you needed it then, it has become immeasurable. Don't talk like that. Don't say God would have used anybody. Why didn't he? Don't speak down on people's labors. Even when they offend you. Even when they do things that you don't like. Never should you speak low of the things that the sacrifice they've made. There's none of us who is self-made. People have labored, sacrificed because of you. Including your parents, your earthly parents. Sometimes your siblings. Sometimes your friends. They've sacrificed, done a lot towards you. You don't talk like that. Don't talk like a fool. Be thankful. Say, I'm a thankful person. And don't say, I thank you, but. Don't add but. Say, thank you so much. I'm eternally grateful. That's how true Christians talk. Hallelujah. So, that's not my sermon. Paul was deliberate here. He says, you know those things. So the next thing he says, in 28, take it therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. The opposite of taking heed is to be careless. Say, I refuse to be careless. You have to take heed. You have to be careful. The Greek word here, prosecho, P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O, has to do with being aware. And I want to mention this in a strong term. God wants us who disciple his flock to be very much aware. To be conscious. Not to sleep off. Not to doze. I hope that's not the word of knowledge. Not to doze over the flock. In Matthew 6:1, he says you should beware of your attitude. Matthew 6:1, beware of your attitude. Don't doze over your attitude. When you notice that some attitude is creeping out from your life, you suddenly are talking differently. You are reacting differently. You are now getting comfortable doing some things without caution. You have to beware. In Matthew 7:15, he asks us to beware of false prophets. False prophets. We mustn't just say, well, let's just, no. He says you have to beware of false prophets. Matthew 10:17. Matthew 16:6, 11, and 12. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, beware of false doctrine. That's why we said earlier, watch the things that you watch. Beware of false teaching. Beware of your attitude. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false teaching. Look at Luke 21. Luke 21:34. Take heed to yourselves. I want us to read that together. Luke 21:34. Let's go. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Take it to yourself, lest these life's things overwhelm you. They overwhelm you. Suddenly your mood changes. It changes for the whole week. Then you are bothered, worried. But you know you are talking, you are saying things you should not say. You start to listen to the wrong counsel. Jesus says you have to beware. Not beware of the cares of life. Beware of your heart. What is the state of your heart now? I love the song by Brother Phil Driscoll. I just set aside the cares of this world, fall in love with you again. I'll just throw away the troubles of this world and fall in love with you. Some of those times when you notice that the cares of life are getting to you, just spend some time and thank the Lord. Spend some time and just pray and minister to the Lord. Watch your heart. You know, you are grumbling really high, complaining. It will start from something that happened in your office or a lecturer in your school, something that happened with your neighbor. And then you start, getting really worked up. Before you know it, as you open the Facebook or you open the Twitter or the Instagram, you begin to see all sort of not terrible news. They begin to resonate with your cares. Say, hey, everybody's just tired generally. Everybody's not tired generally. Speak for yourself. You know, begin to, you know, develop wrong and strange attitudes. He says, take heed. Hallelujah. Take heed to your heart. In Acts 5:35. Same words given, written by Luke, Acts 5:35. He says, take it to yourselves. You intend to do as touching, so you have to take it to yourself. This is Gamaliel speaking. You see that word in Acts 8:6:10, when they pay attention. So the word take it means to pay attention. Say, I pay attention. So you must pay attention to the flock. You must look at the flock. When you see things emanate, suddenly arise among the flock, you must pay attention. You cannot ignore things that are happening to your flock. It is your, you have, listen to this, you have a full-time duty to watch over the flock. Watching over the flock is not part-time. You have a full-time duty to watch over the flock. A full-time duty to watch the flock. Don't just be particular about them attending service on Sunday. Some of us, that's what we are. We are Saturday pastors. All your pastors is Saturday evening. Hey, are you coming to church tomorrow? I'm coming to pick you in the morning. That's all you do. No. You are to watch over. To watch. To pay attention to the flock. Pay very close attention to the flock. In 1 Timothy 1:4. Paul says, don't take heed to fables. 1 Timothy 3:8. Not giving to. So something you are giving to. Hebrews 2, I'm just telling the shades of the word. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Hebrews 2:1. 2 Peter 1:19. We ought to take heed. So that word, proseko, is something you are addicted to. An addiction to keep your focus on something. An addiction to keep watching something. It means you are, your gaze is always there. I remember one illustration Bishop Oyedepo gave years back. And he said, it was in a conference like that. He said, try and look up and look down. He wrote it in the book as well. He said, look up and look down. He said, can you do it? He said, that is how your focus should look like. You should be single-minded. And that blessed me. And that's the word here, proseko. You must keep watching. You must be addicted. Watch. Take heed to the flock. Take heed. So when Paul is talking in Acts 20, and he says, Acts 20, he says, take heed to yourselves. And the construction of the Greek is take heed to yourself because of the flock. Take heed to yourself. Watch yourself. Ask yourself, Shegu, what are you becoming? What are you becoming? There was a time like that, I didn't like what a friend was doing. And I really didn't like it. In fact, I spoke to another friend. I don't do gossip, but I just say, and I'm really not happy. So one day in prayer, I just said to myself, this was this year, and I said, why are you really not happy? Is this thing of God, the way you are feeling? Because this is getting out of hand. And I felt, really? I think I'm walking in the flesh about this. So I began to pray. And I found out that I picked a thought that I shouldn't have had. So what did I do? I dealt with it. Then I called the friend I called earlier. I said, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong. That we should just pray. I should just have prayed for this person. And if there are things I don't understand, I don't talk about it. So you have to watch yourself. You have to watch your reactions. You have to watch. It says, when you watch yourself, you are watching the flock. I said that to say, your spiritual growth is no longer for you. As you have come to this conference, it's no longer for you. Your spiritual life is no longer about you. Other people's lives is now attached to the things that you do.
Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to the company that you are trying to keep. I remember a guy like that. A preacher. He went into, he said he had an ambition to do politics. I don't have a problem with politics. I don't criticize people going to politics. It's just like a career, just like an involvement in society. But we gave the warning. He said, be careful. Know your boundaries. Know the things you can't do. He said, no problem. We had to go and bring this man of God. He was already drunk. A miracle preacher. He was drunk. You know, I'm sure he didn't drink the first day. He didn't drink the second day. But gradually, you'll be smelling it. After smell, you'll be touching it. From touching, you'll take small, 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 till you have the fullness of joy. We had to go and get him out. He was drunk. Man of God. A little leaven loved me the whole lump. Small, 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 till you cannot control it. Watch your company. And I've always told you, always have markers for relationship. This is a business relationship. That's what it is. If you cannot have relationships with people outside the church, it means you are not growing. You are not growing. Relationships with people, business-wise. Other things that you do. In the secular world, know the difference. Know the boundaries. By the time you start taking counsel, your personal private life counsel, to an unbeliever because he's a good business partner, then you have stopped watching yourself. I was so amazed when some people were talking about Jethro's counsel to Moses. And they said Jethro, they felt Jethro was an unbeliever. Jethro is not an unbeliever. Jethro was a priest of God. You must be careful. The kind of things you expose your mind. You know some people, when they want to teach wrong doctrine, they will look for wrong interpretation of scripture. So you must ensure that you watch the things that you allow into your heart. You get to your office, and you know, many people in your office, or some of your office, they are not Christians, some are Christians, but it's only the book of life. And you get careless. You talk. You start to discuss your church, your pastor. You start to discuss your flock, people under your care. Don't you know where you are? This is a place for business. This is a place for professional services. Stick to it. Take it to yourself. Take it to yourself. In the Christian Community Church, it's a training I've given the pastors. You don't discuss the flock. Not even with your colleague pastor. You don't do it. That is abuse of privilege. You don't discuss. You don't get to your bedroom and because you discuss your flock with your wife or your husband. That's irresponsible. Discuss your children. The flock is not put under your family. Did you hear me? God did not put the flock under your wife or under your husband. He knows what he has done. There's nothing called co-pastor with wife and husband. In case you think it's Priscilla and Aquila, your name is not Priscilla. Don't do that. You don't have to discuss God's people with the wrong person. Don't abuse privilege. It's like a doctor discussing his patient with his friend. Abuse of privilege. You don't do that. That's why when you're in leadership, don't choose talkatives. Those who talk in leadership. Even if they pray a lot, their prayer is not yet answered. Don't hand over your church to your spouse or the church to your spouse. It's not biblical. Any spouse that is uncomfortable with it, he's using witchcraft and manipulation. Don't do that. You see, hey, you know,
that brother, you know, he's not growing, you know. His prayer life is so down. Is that, what is the conversation for? I told them, you don't discuss the flock with yourselves. It's not the basis of conversation. Except the person has responsibility over that fellow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take it to yourself. So what must I watch? Number one, I must know that the Holy Ghost made me overseer. I said the Holy Ghost is the one who has done it. So I must take heed to watch that. You know, it looks like it's your pastor that just chose you. I said, Jide, come and do this. So oftentimes we forget that the way God does things is through men. God uses your pastor. God is always going to walk through people. But it is God who did it. And there are some of us, the way we treat, the way we act, is almost like we are doing the pastor a favor. Pastor Jakes, I'm sorry, sir, I can't, you know, I'll just tell, you know, that's how we see it. You have to take it to yourself. If you believe that you can be lying to your leader or your pastor, if you lie to your leader and your pastor, you are going to reap it. It will come back to you. Even if the person does not know. That's why the Bible has many examples of those who lied and the things that happened to them. Don't ignore it. Don't say, that's not Christocentric. You know, it's electric. It's there in your Bible. Don't lie. You will now be drafting excuses. You have been given responsibility. You have been drafting excuses. There's one guy like that. I told him. I said, the way you are going, this person gives you responsibility in the ministry, you do it anyhow. He had a pattern like that. A pattern. Consistent pattern. I told him this years ago. I said, you will not do anything that will last. We prayed about it. Recently again, the same thing happened. After many years. It's a pattern. Because you think it's about people. So you are thinking, it's Pastor Funke that is the issue. No, it's God who made you overseer. Even though it was a man who laid hands on you. That's how God works. Hear me, men and brethren. Everything God does it through men. Everything he does, and the men are not God. Yet those are the people he's going to use. Everything. See, I'm repeating it to you. Everything God does, everything he has ever done, he will ever do. How do you think Jesus handed over the gospel to teenagers? Teenagers! Men. Men that were even despised by others. They said, who are these young boys? What do they know? He knew they were going to despise them. Same thing like Paul said to Timothy. But that's how God works. God does not consult people before he does what he does. So when you were chosen, God chose you. So the first thing you have to watch, pay attention to the fact that it is God who chose you. It's Brother Alex that asked you to do it. It's Sister Tony that asked you to do it. It's Pastor Somi that told you to do it. But hear me, it is God who told you to do it. This pastor told you that asked you to go there. But it is God who told you to do it. Hallelujah. So the way you must relate with that responsibility is to see God in it. See, I see God in it. What did Paul say to Timothy? He says, the gift that was given thee by the elders, the laying on of the hands of the elders. That's what he said. 1 Timothy 4:14. And he was referring to his ministry. In Acts 13. Verse 3. Separate unto me, Barabbas and Saul, for the work I have called them. So they laid their hands upon them and sent them away. And the Bible says, being sent by the Holy Ghost. Hands were laid on you.
prophecy had gone on you. It's God that put you there. Take heed to yourself. Watch it. That other thoughts don't creep in. For we start very well. Because when you see it as, then you not allow thoughts, life's experiences, to shape the way you think. It's God who put you there. Watch. Watch it. Watch it. God will always use men. Get used to that. God will use men. There is nobody. Listen well. There is nobody who knows God's word by himself. Nobody. The very fact that what we are reading is written by men. Translated by men. And God now put the gifts in the body to teach us. One person said irresponsible that the reason why they used to teach them a lot in the early church because they were illiterate. So when some people, I think they take cocaine when they are writing on social media. I'm talking about real cocaine, not spiritual cocaine. No. Why would you think like that? So the Enoch was also an illiterate. The many people that Paul would speak of, those that he called as the elite of the society, were they illiterate? The guys in Acts 17, Christians, I mean, Jews, who knew the scriptures, they searched it and they found out what Paul said were true. Don't say things like that. Don't say Jesus is my pastor. That's an irresponsible statement. Where is the Jesus? Is it in your bedroom? God put you there. What God did, he did through men. Hallelujah. May the things that you are awed at never become small in your eyes. Some of us, the way we honor laying of hands, prophecies, it starts to dwindle. It starts to dwindle. It starts to dwindle. You are seeing man, not God. You have to see God. So take heed to the fact that it is the Holy Ghost who put you there. In 1 Samuel 16:13, we saw Samuel poured oil on David. But the Bible says it's the Spirit of God that came on him. Don't lose that narration. Samuel poured oil on David. But the Bible says it's the Spirit of God that came on him. A man is doing it, but it's God that is doing it. It's the Spirit of God that came. Why do you think I always talk about the experiences I've had? Because I keep them in awe. I keep them in awe. I remember them. I keep them in awe. Because that's why I'm here today. So it's not man. It is God. Number two, know that you are an overseer. Who are you? You are an overseer. You may be an engineer, a banker, a billionaire. But you see, when it comes to the things of God, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you are an overseer. The word overseer is the word episkopos in the Greek. Episkopos. One who looks over. One who looks over. The Old Testament will call it a watchman. You are a watchman. You must stand on your watch all the time. Who are you overseeing? You are overseeing brethren. One, fellow brethren like you. You are not any better than anyone. I'm here not because I'm better than you. I'm here because of the privilege God has granted me to be used of God to instruct you. The privilege. I told you the other day, none of us is indispensable. Say, I'm not indispensable. Say, I'm not indispensable. None of us. So it is a privilege. Sometimes in our leaders, sometimes when I see we are becoming last, I warn us, we are not indispensable. May we not start having memories of good days. Did you hear me? Never get to the point
where you start having good days in your memories because you abused the opportunities. Because God will use somebody else. He will use somebody else. Never! Never! Never try to look like you are so exclusive. God will use someone else. For many times, He's using you because other people disobeyed. So your fellow brethren, who else are you watching over? The flock of Christ. The flock. The Greek word is poimnon. Poimnon. Jesus mentioned it in Luke 12:32. Peter also in 1 Peter 5:2 and 3. But notice, that was what David was called. When David slept with Bathsheba, that was the prophecy, or let's say, that was the utterance that Nathan gave him. 2 Samuel chapter 12. After Nathan had spoken to him, he said to him, 2 Samuel chapter 6, that's chapter 12, in verse 7, "Thou art the man," he told him. He said, "You are the man." In fact, the illustration he gave him was about the flock. He says in verse 4, "He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the weary man that was come to him, but took the poor man's lamb, dressed it for the man that was to come to him." In verse 4, then says, "You are the man." Then look at what he said to him. 2 Samuel, chapter 12. It says in verse 9, "Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I'll take up thy wives before thy eyes, and give them to thy neighbor, that he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. And thou shalt do it secretly, to do this before all Israel and before the sun." And David began to cry, because he knew the responsibility he had was that of a shepherd. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 70. "He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes. Great with the young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." So he was a shepherd. In 1 Peter 2:25, we find the same word, overseer, used for Jesus, the word bishop. Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:2, and Titus 1:7. So you are a shepherd. And the word sheep means that they are in your care. You're a shepherd. See, I'm a shepherd. So you know who you are. You are a shepherd. You are the main instructor and teacher. You are a shepherd. You are to watch and take care of the flock. So Paul, in Acts 20, 28, he says, feed. The word shepherd there. Feed. Poimano. Feed the flock. You have a good heart. I said you have a good heart. You have the heart of a shepherd. Matthew's Gospel 2. And verse 6. He says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor," that's the word shepherd, "that shall rule over my people." Jesus is that shepherd that shall rule over my people. In John 21, 16, he said to Peter, "Feed the flock, feed the lambs." So you have that duty to be a shepherd, to tend the sheep,
to take care of it. Not for your own selfish purposes, but for Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, which he has, he said, the church of God, which he has purchased, verse 28, with his own blood. With his own blood. So I must watch. I watch myself. I watch myself to remind myself that it's God that put me there. I watch myself to remind myself that I am the shepherd over God's sheep on behalf of Jesus Christ. Who is the chief shepherd of the sheep? Who is the bishop of our souls? 1 Peter 2:24, 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, calls him the chief shepherd of verse 4. The chief shepherd of the sheep. The chief shepherd, which is what you call the archbishop. He's the archbishop. The superior of all of us. The under shepherd. That's what you are. So you are doing this on behalf of who? On behalf of who? So you do to the flock what Jesus will do to the flock. Watch it. So he said, you watch yourself. You watch yourself, they know God put you there. Stop giving excuses. Any church or ministry, where particularly in the leadership, they begin to give excuses, cannot make any lasting impact. The leadership must be sacrificial. The leadership must be selfless. Because the work we carry is a work of the sacrificed Savior. You must be people of sacrifice. Don't give excuses. You already know. For example, that your church holds a convention in June. Your church convention. Every year. You mark it in your calendar. You pray towards it. You give towards it. You prepare towards it. It's not at that time you say, hey, there's one trip. There's something. There are things you cannot control. But when you have a choice, some of us can be very funny. You now go and meet the pastor. Pastor, I'm just wondering, you know, that trip is once in a lifetime. I'm just thinking, should I go or should I stay? Just anything you say, sir. You want to set him up? Be responsible. You are over the flock of Christ. And the moment you start to give excuses like that, you make it difficult for the pastor or the senior pastor. Because people will begin to see those who should be in leadership do things. And they will reproduce it. Then there will be problems. So God put you there. Say, God put me there. Say, God put me there. I've never, ever, ever thought otherwise in my life. God put me there. That is why, for many years, I'm the kind of person you cannot discourage. Can't discourage me. Because you didn't put me there. If you mock me, I'll just laugh. It's God who put me there. That's what's important for me. What you are not. Watch what you are not. And Paul, in Acts 20, please go there. Say, you feed the church which he has purchased with the blood of his own. So we learn to treat the flock well. Let's pray right now. That we know to treat the flock properly. Pray. That you value the flock. You value the church. You value the sheep. You value them. You don't treat them anyhow. You don't use them for your personal purpose and ambition. You value the flock. Pray. You are a good shepherd. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. You don't abandon them. You don't give excuses. Hallelujah. You sit down. So take heed to them. So you watch God put you there. You watch what you do and what you don't do. Now look at Acts 20 again. Verse 29. For I know after my departing, Paul says, shall grievous wolves enter the flock. Say, I'm not a wolf. Say like you say, I'm not a wolf. Grievous wolves. The word, leukos in the Greek, was used by Jesus. In Matthew 7:15, says, some, they dress like sheep, but inwardly, they are wolves. In their hearts, they are wolves. They can smile, and they are wolves. Wolves. Those who devour the flock. John 10:12, Jesus says, when the good shepherd said the wolf will come in, the good shepherd keeps the wolf from getting to the flock. So you also have the duty to guard the flock from wolves. John 10:12. The shepherd, the one who is not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, then he leaves them. But the good shepherd rather will lay his life down. When Paul says grievous wolves, the Greek word there means heavy. Heavy. Burdensome. Burdensome. See, I'm not a wolf. I'm not a burden to the flock. See, I'm not a burden to the flock of Christ. Don't become a burden to the church. Don't become a burden. But you take advantage of them. Don't do that. Don't become a burden. Don't become a burden to the flock. Jesus is not that kind of shepherd. He says, they shall arise. Take note of that word. Arise. A sudden getting up. Arise. Suddenly. That amongst yourselves some will suddenly arise, speaking perverse things. There are three, four in the Greek. Perverse things. D-I-A-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. That word is used for corrupting information, distorting instructions, misinterpreting things, and also opposing them. Ensure they are not doing that in the church. The pastor made you a cell leader, a fellowship pastor. Don't get up and suddenly begin to distort things. There are people that have done it. When anyone does that, it will follow them through life. I tell people, when you're in a local church and you don't love the leadership, leave. Don't create trouble. Don't claim you want to teach the people the word of God. You are going to cause problems there. So you begin to distort information. They'll tell you in your general headquarters that people should give tithes. You tell the ones that you do not give tithes. That is wrong. Don't distort things. Don't distort things. They'll tell them that they should go for water baptism. You say, no, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't distort it. Don't suddenly get up and begin to say strange things. If you are led to preach other things, it's not that congregation. Get that right. Don't distort things. Don't do it. As a younger preacher, several years ago, when I didn't know much, I was made a youth pastor. And then I'll gather the youth fellowship in a brother's house like that and begin to show them teachings that the pastor was not teaching them. And I felt I was doing the right thing. Where are the people today? They are not here. Things like that don't last. I had to learn that that was wrong. And I apologized. It's wrong. Don't start to introduce preachers that the pastor has not introduced. Don't distort information. Don't distort instructions. Don't give counter instructions. They will arise and speak perverse things. You've had people like that in this ministry before. I don't monitor pastors. I trust that they are doing what I taught them. I don't monitor them. I don't have time to do that. I watch their lives, but I don't say, oh, go and check whether I don't. Talking about, oh, pastors. I trust they are doing the right thing. But we have people who will do exactly opposite. Who did, sorry. And they had reasons. Well, I know they're on their way out. I knew they were on their way out. Because it's God who chose me over this congregation. I didn't do it myself. So, you mustn't start giving counter-instruction. The pastor says, everybody must do this. You say, well, I know pastor said it, but I just feel. Don't say that! Get up and begin to say counter things. Dastrifo. Perverse things. That word means to corrupt information, to distort it, to misinterpret it, and to oppose. Matthew 17:17. A perverse generation. Luke 23:2. Acts 13:8. Paul had to oppose Elimas the sorcerer. As Paul was saying something, he would twist it. As Paul was giving this word, he would twist it. As Paul and Barnabas were speaking, he would say, it's not like that. Don't see it that way. Ha! Paul says, who is this guy? Paul says, you seek to turn away the deputy from the faith. That's trifle. In verse 10, he says, oh, full of subtlety, all mischief, you child of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, you cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord. He'll just go there, the deputy, after they have finished teaching, he says, well, don't see it that way. Let me explain it to you. He didn't say it properly. He should have said it that way, this way. The doors like that. You are in the same fellowship. The pastor has preached. We have all heard. Then you go and meet the people who attended the meeting. Hey, what did you learn? That's how we start. So, what did you learn? Where? In the service now. Pastor taught about prayer. I know. What did you learn? Yes. The prayer is, okay, it's true. Prayer is an outward of faith. But also, add this to it. But pastor doing it in the service doesn't matter. The word of God is for everybody. That is where it starts. After the service, you see, we are doing, when your pastors were younger, there was someone like that. Then we used to meet, you know, not the way we do today. And you gather them, and I said, what are you doing there? He said, we are doing Bible study. I said, Bible what? I preach from morning to evening. And you see, I have time for Bible study. I'm sure then they didn't understand what I was doing. I understood it. Now they do. There are things you will do. Those under you may not understand it. Say, if I see this useless synagogue in this place again, I know the implication. It's not anything godly. It's to draw disciples. To draw disciples. That's what Paul says. To draw disciples. The Greek word for drawing disciples is to withdraw people to yourself. Anything that puts the attention on you, be careful. To draw disciples. To withdraw. Begin to say something different. Your pastor said the Greek word is phanerousis. You not added your own. Phanerousis, the root word is pheneru. That's how it starts. The four places where it is used, you now add four more. He said, the things you have learnt of me among many witnesses. What did he say? The same. Is that what he said? He didn't say commit, he said the same things. Commit unto faithful men. 2 Timothy 2:2. Now say, let me add this one. Let me add that one. Watch it. Say, I watch myself. So you watch your heart. You watch your words. You watch your conduct. You watch your focus. Let Christ be the focus of what you are doing in the house of God. Pray for me, I close. Ensure they are not drawing things to yourself. For money, for sexual lust, for pet doctrines. Don't do that. You feed the flock. You oversee the flock. When you are put in charge, I've told you the sin of Aaron. I've explained it to you many times. Aaron was listening to the congregation. You don't do that. The pastor who puts you over is the person you listen to. Not his friend. Not somebody he recommends. You have to understand spiritual authority. Not his associates. Not another wonderful Bible teacher. No. Aaron, Moses had gone up. By the time Moses was back, the people had already started worshipping idols. They started doing one convention for idols. Moses, what is going on, Aaron? I put you in charge of these people. What did you do? Aaron said, no. They said they wanted this. And the women put down their earrings. And we just put it inside fire. See what it became. Paul said to Timothy, the people at some point will want to hear certain things. You preach the word. Be instant. And say, what do you mean by preach the word? We normally jump that context. The context is 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you have learnt of me. 2 Timothy 3:14. Know of whom you have learnt them. That is what he meant by preach the word. Preach what I taught you. Be instant in season and out of season. Don't make that error. That's why Joshua, after Moses had departed, he mentioned Moses till the end of his life. He said, I'm doing all that the Lord commanded Moses to do. He said it. Moses had died several years. He kept saying, no, it's what the Lord asked Moses to do that I'm doing. So, like I shared with you at the workers' convention, when you look at good associates, disciples, you pick Joshua, you pick Timothy, you pick Elijah. When you have the wrong ones, you have Gehazi. Unfortunately, Aaron. Those that will do their own thing. Don't make that error. Keep your focus. Hallelujah. Feed the flock. Never abandon the flock. Pray. Care for the flock. Keep your eyes. Write this down. Keep your eyes on the flock. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And keep the flock's focus on Jesus. So I watch over myself. Pray for yourself right now. Pray. Pray. Pray for yourself. I watch my heart. I watch what I do. I watch why I do it. I don't draw the attention to myself. I lead men to Christ. I see this work as what God has called me to do. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray that you're a good shepherd over the sheep of Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, we trust that we have a good conscience to do that which is right. Pray for yourself. Hebrews 13:18. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Mention the name of your ministry, your church, the assembly that you are over. Declare that you are a good shepherd. You lead them with the heart of Christ. You don't draw away disciples after yourself. You don't distort information and misinterpret it. You don't oppose leadership. Go ahead and pray. Come on. Pray. Go ahead and pray. Come on. Go ahead and pray. Come on. I see strong churches emerge. In the coming days, we are going to multiply the assemblies all over the nation, all over the nations. Assemblies are going to multiply as good shepherds emerge and are also birthed. Spiritual authority is understood, respected. We have good manners, great attitudes. We love the flock. We love the church.
We have order in our midst. We have a free flow of the Spirit of God. It's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. All over the nations is happening. As men leave this conference with great hearts, great attitudes, watching over their hearts and their lives and the flock. Thank the Lord for the flock. Come on, give thanks to God for the church that you are over. Give thanks to God for the work that you are doing. Give thanks to God. Your labor will not go in vain in the name of Jesus. Your effort will not go in vain in the name of Jesus. Your sincerity will bring fruit for you in the name of Jesus. Your passion, your night of cries and tears, your sacrifice will not go in vain in the name of Jesus. Your good heart, your good conscience, it will bear fruit in the congregation in the name of Jesus. The things that you are doing with the whole of your heart, the nights you spend praying, the nights you could not sleep because of the flock, it will bring fruit in the name of Jesus. In 2021, you have a great harvest of what you have done in the name of Jesus. Jesus, in 2021, you have increase, multiply increase in the name of Jesus. In 2021, your labors will bring forth fruit and will bring forth a great harvest in the name of Jesus. Your sincerity will not go to nothing in the name of Jesus. Those nights and days you spent to cry, those nights and moments you prayed, those days, those hours that you labor with the whole of your heart, the fruit is coming to you in the name of Jesus. All the resources that you have spent, all the sacrifice, all the denials that you have done, all the pain you've gone through, all the insults you have received, they will bear fruit for you. In the name of Jesus, I speak by the Spirit of God. The things that many of us here, we've gone through for the sake of the gospel, the last 5, 6, 7 years, the fruit is coming your way. In the name of Jesus, the fruit is coming your way. In the name of Jesus, in 2021, we see the first fruit of things to come. In the name of Jesus, you will see suddenlies of growth, suddenlies of harvest. In the name of Jesus, suddenlies of expansion. In the name of Jesus. The harvest is here. The harvest is here. The harvest is here. The harvest is here. In the name of Jesus. All the labors are not going to waste. All the tears are not going to waste. All the weepings are not going to waste. All the monies you spent are not going to waste. All the hours and weeks and months are not going to waste. All the insults you took are not going to waste. All the shame you bore are not going to waste. All the sacrifice you have taken are not going to waste. That you abandoned that opportunity to stay with the flock is not going to waste. In the name of Jesus. In the year we are entering, there's a first fruit of things to come. Supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God. We thank you, our Father. We give you praise. Lift your hands and thank God for the flock again. Stand to your feet, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. I wanna be a vessel you walk through. Sing it out. I wanna be more like you.